the motives of our hearts, Lord. Father, we pray that you would use your powerful word to change us, to mold us into the likeness of Christ. Father, we pray that, Lord, we would not hope or reject what you want to do in our lives this morning. Pray that we would be humble, that we would be receptive, that we would be led by your Spirit, Lord, to change whatever is necessary in our lives, so that we may walk and be witness for Christ. We may be ambassadors for you, holy ambassadors, proclaiming your good news to those in our community. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue our journey through Psalm 119, verses 33 and 40 this morning. And we've been talking about treasuring the Word of God. And to say that treasuring the Word of God makes a huge impact in our lives is an understatement. It will completely change your life. And we continue to witness all the different ways that God's Word has had in the psalmist's life. The whole point of Psalm 119 is to show us how we should treat the Holy Word of God. It shows us how we should, you know, how important it is for living our lives in this world. That is absolutely crucial in the lives of God's children. This psalm is given to us to show us what it looks like to treasure His Word, to see how it affects every area of our lives. Last week, we saw how the psalmist humbled himself before the Lord. And he was humbled in heart before His Word. And he asked the Lord for help. He asked Him to provide his soul. He asked Him to help him pursue holiness and to be faithful to the Lord. The help he needed from the Lord came through His Word. The psalmist understood that everything he needed was found in the Word of God. Hence, his delight in the Word, his passion for God's Word. That's what we want to come away with. We want to grow in our passion. We want to truly treasure the Word of God. We want to know what God's about. This week, we will see His desire not only to live faithfully as the Lord, but to finish strong. You know, it's one thing to start well. We've seen that in people's lives time and time again. It's also commendable to run hard for a season of time. And we've seen people accomplish unbelievable amounts of things and work in a short period of time. But it is most significant that we finish strong, that we endure throughout a lifetime, ever faithful to the Lord until we finish the race. Finishing strong is the crown of all the Lord has done in and through our lives. To not finish strong would take away the significance of all that we have accomplished in our lives. You've seen it before. You've seen godly men and women who exemplify Christ, who make a huge impact on the kingdom of God, and then at some point in their life they have a world failure, which brings their legacy to an end. Their lives are shipwrecked. No one remembers the good they did. The people they impacted are crushed in their faith, and many will question what they believe, all because someone did not finish them. God doesn't give us the option of starting well and tapering off the rest of our lives. The American concept of retirement is found nowhere in our service unto the Lord. In fact, we are to press on toward the goal, the prize, and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14, we finish the race when we breathe our last breath in this earthly body and we will be with the Lord. In Christ, our sanctification, this new life, is a divine and human partnership between us and the Lord. You see that in Philippians 2:12. And even though God tells us in Philippians 1:6 that He will finish what He started in our lives, that does not take away from our responsibility to be faithful to Him and His Word, faithful to Him. We dive into these next 8 verses. We'll start to see what the psalmist is talking about here about being faithful to God's life and faithful to Him. We want to continue to ask the Lord for help. But this is impossible without God's help. So we keep seeing. We want to ask the Lord for help. In the first year, we're asking the Lord, Lord, be my teacher that I may live well and finish strong. Be my teacher that I may live well and finish strong. Teach me, O Lord, must give of himself to the master teacher. There is no greater teacher than that of the Lord of God. John 14:26 tells us that God, the Holy Spirit, is our teacher, and he guides us into his truth. And as we read and study and we meditate on God's word, the Holy Spirit, and as we learn here, he illuminates the scripture. He helps us understand what it means. We learned this early in the past. The Holy Spirit then teaches us how to take the word of God and then apply it to our lives. And then what does he do? He gives us the strength and ability to obey his word, to walk in the ways of God. Through our faith in Christ, we know we become children of God. God, being our perfect, loving Father, is so patient with us. He knows us perfectly well. He understands how hard it is to transform our hearts, to renew our minds. And so he pours out his grace on our lives, step by step, as he slowly changes our lives, as he molds us more and more to the likeness of Christ. You see, the psalmist knows that he gives himself to the teaching of the Lord, he will be able to live according to God's word. He will be able to be faithful and keep his word, and even to finish strong. Here we get this glimpse. We get a glimpse of how the Lord works as a masterful teacher. First, we see here he wants God to teach him the ways of his word. God's ways that he wants us to live by are found in his word. And knowing these are so very, very important. If not, we will easily take on the ways of the world and others around us, or we'll make up our own way. We'll find our own way. And God's ways, in God's word, cover every aspect of our life, from what is true and false, or what is right and wrong, or what healthy relationships look like, what real love is really about, how it looks to lead others, what it looks like to love a spouse, and how it looks to raise my children. What it looks like to treat others in God's way. The list goes on and on and on. God's ways are in his word. The question would be, how many of our normal ways today line up with God's ways? If we're to list out our ways, the way we live our lives, the way we do these different things, are these our ways? Are these the ways of the world? Or do these really line up with God's ways? And it won't be enough unless we know and understand the ways of God. He also asks the Lord for understanding. He wants to know how to walk in his ways. He wants understanding so that he will be able to obey his word. He says to him of his whole heart. In other words, he's asking God to help him understand how to apply his word to everyday life. This is what a God teacher does. He truly wants us to understand his word in a way that helps us clarify what it really looks like to walk in obedience to him. He wants to reveal the practical nature of his word so that we can walk in his ways and receive his blessing that we learned about. This is the point of Bible study, to understand what he's saying to us, what he means, but ultimately how to apply his word to our lives so that we are changed by it. That's what studying God's word is all about. Holy Spirit will use it to change our lives and mold us into the likeness of Christ. The psalmist notes here that if he can gain a greater understanding of the practical application of God's word, then it's going to help him walk in obedience and be faithful to serve the Lord with his whole heart. We can see the natural progression here in the prayer of the psalmist. But first he needs the Lord to teach him. And then he needs him to give him greater understanding. And then once he knows and understands God's word and his ways and wants to apply to his life, he then needs God to help him obey his word. Not momentarily, but throughout his life, so that he will finish strong. He has this great need here for God's leadership. He wants God to lead him, help him obey. So he has this great desire for God's leadership in his life, and all of us need to have that desire. He needs God to lead him down the right path according to his word and his ways. We see that in verse 35. He knows how hard it is to walk according to God's word, how hard it is to walk the whole path of righteousness. And we are surrounded, think about it, we're surrounded by distractions, temptations, everything that is contrary to the word of God. And these things beg for us to take detours away from God's will, away from his plans for our lives. takes a short moment for our flesh to step in and want to take up leash, take control. We should be allowing the Lord to have rule in our lives, allowing Him to have His hand on every single aspect of our lives. The psalmist knows, as we do, from 1 John 5:3, that for this is the love of God, we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdens. You should love that last part. His commandments are not burdens. The psalmist knows that God's commands are really a true blessing in His life. It's a lie from the pit of hell that tells us that following God's word or following God is burdensome or constraining. Following God and His ways brings true freedom into your life. Brings power, direction, peace. It leads to blessing. The psalmist knows that to live well and live strong will only bring about more blessing in his life. That's why he says he delights in the word of God. Psalm 37:23 states, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in the word." We are to treasure his word. We are to ask the Lord to give us spiritual guidance. Are you making yourself available to God for him to teach you? Are you making yourself available for God to teach you? Time where God's word is before you, where God's word saturates your mind, where God's word is illuminated by the Holy Spirit as you meditate on it, where understanding is given to you so that you can understand and know what He wants to have to do in your life. These few verses here beg us to take a good look at our lives right here and now. Are we living a life of faithfulness to God and His word? Are we on a track to finish strong? Or do we feel we've kind of done our part and we don't have to really serve the Lord anymore? It's not really for me. Or are we not? We growing in our relationship with the Lord? Or are we serving the body of Christ? Are we staying in fellowship with fellow believers? All of these things helps us live well and finish strong. Because the next generation is watching us. And we know from God's word, we know from experience, that the next generation will only be serving the Lord as faithful as we. The next generation will only walk in obedience through the example that He set. How can we expect the next generation to do something or be someone that we're not? Ask the Lord to teach you, to lead you, that you may live well and finish strong. Next, we're asking the Lord to change my heart and mind so that I may live well and finish strong. Look at verse 36 and 37. Incline my heart to your testimony and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Treasuring the word of God is a part of you. It's why we speak so much about the heart here in Psalm 119. Verse 2, he said, "Those who seek Him with their whole heart are blessed." Verse 7 says, "I will praise You with uprightness." Verse 10 says, "With my whole heart I seek You." Verse 11 says, "I store up Your word in my heart." Verse 32, we talked about last week, it talks about God enlarging His heart. What is in the heart affects our character, it affects our actions, it really affects our entire life. Or all of our stuff. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, "Without a heart that not speaks," right? Jesus was always looking at the heart because there lies the true motives and desires of the person. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In 12:34, what you treasure the most will reveal the true state of your heart. The psalmist is praying for God to change his heart, to give him a greater desire for his word, rather than me, his own selfish will. Are we praying for that? As we go through this psalm, are we like, are you praying for God to give you a greater desire that you may treasure the word of God? That you may find out what it's all about? See, our minds have a great deal to do with our inner person. We become what we think of. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." What you think about is what you will become. The psalmist knows that if there's any hope of him living well and finishing strong, it means God to change his heart and change his desires, change his mind. He states here in verse 36, He doesn't need to be looking at worthless things. Because he knows that if he fills his mind up with things of this world, then it will impact his heart in such a way that he may stray from the Lord and his ways and possibly bring ruin upon his life. He knows this. The psalmist here is basically asking the Lord, give me a heart like yours. I want to be a man after your own heart. He wants God to give him new desires within his heart. Desires that line up with God's desires. To help him have a heart that for God's ways and God's word. Not for his selfish ways, he says. See, he knows that there is life in the ways of God, because he knows that on the flip side of that, and we all know this, on the flip side, under our selfish ways, the selfish ways of mankind, there is chaos, there is suffering, there is pain, there's death. What kinds of things do you treasure? What kinds of things are you devoted to? What kinds of things have the full attention of your mind, through your eyes, to your inner person? Are you allowing the temptations of this world into your mind? In other words, are you entertaining your sinful nature, your flesh? Are you saturating your mind with the world's lies, the world's philosophies, the ways and things of mankind that are evil and corrupt in nature? The things that are seductive? Things that are luring you down the path that is contrary to God's words? When are you lying? When are you allowing it to saturate your mind? Because there's so much in the world that is inundated with information. It's everywhere. Ponder the story of our first ancestors. Adam and Eve fell for the same things. Think about this. They saw the tree and its fruit. We can relate to that, right? You've seen us take some food and look on the word. And you unwrap it and drop it. Think about what you saw. Adam and Eve saw how beautiful the fruit was. It looked so good. We can relate to that, right? What you thought was so good in your eyes, so good that you felt to lust, and in the end, what looked so good brought about ruin in your life. Adam and Eve thought that the fruit would give them some secret wisdom that their flesh desires. We can relate to that, right? Maybe as a child of God, you allowed false information to inundate your mind, and you began to think that maybe in Christ you're missing out on something. That what the world has to offer you just might be better. But then in your pursuit of what the world is offering, you only found sorrow and chaos and loneliness and pain. It didn't fulfill. And it never will. For Adam and Eve, what started with a look at something that God forbid led to the corruption of their hearts and eventually pain, sorrow, chaos in their family, and finally death. Nothing's changed since the murder began. We must ask the Lord to guard our eyes and protect our hearts. Don't be fooled by the schemes of Satan. Don't be fooled by the lures of this world that offer false hope, false philosophy for living life, temporary satisfaction, but only leads to despair, that leads to destruction. And the world is, as I said, is overloaded with information at our fingertips. In a world where all the ways and philosophies are brought into your home through a device, I'm giving you a heartfelt warning. Please, be careful what you take in. Ask the Lord to turn your eyes away from those things and give you the new desires of your heart, desires to seek the ways of God found in His Word. That is the help that the psalmist is asking for here. That's the help you should be asking for. Satan has a myriad of schemes and evil things to get your attention. God is everywhere. And if we're not actively pursuing the Lord, if we're not asking for help, we will fall prey to those things. And what we begin to dwell on will not saturate our minds, will eventually change our hearts, and it will only bring about chaos and ruin in your family. I in your righteousness make you alive. Because obedience to God's word was his foundation, and he knew that the Lord was faithful, he asked the Lord to confirm his promise in his life. And maybe it was his promise to be with him, to never leave him or forsake him. And maybe it was his promise, the Lord's promise to restore his joy, to protect him from falling, to give him strength to endure, whatever the promise, and there are many. He wanted the Lord to fulfill his promise to him, which would in turn encourage his heart. He wanted to see the Lord's hand of work in his life. He wanted God to reveal himself in to him, and in doing so, he would then bring a greater reverence and awe and love of the Lord, a fear of the Lord, as he talks about here. The working of God in his life would help him grow in that. Help him see God's wonderful hand. It's a wonderful thing to see the hand of God at work in your life, to see the hand of God at work in the lives of others around you. What promises has God kept in your life? Just think about this for a moment. In what ways has the Lord worked in your life that has brought about in your life, in your heart and mind, a greater reverence and awe of him? I want you to think about that. So we know who God is. to know His Word is all about. People long to know His Word, to be led by it, to be changed by it. The last part of verse 40 there connects to what we learned in verse 37, where it says, give me life in your ways. Here in verse 40 says, in your righteousness, give me life. See, He knows that true life is found in God's ways, and God's ways are the ways of righteousness. It is in obedience to God's word that real life is enjoyed. The abundant life, Lord, that Jesus offers, where He gives us unexplainable peace, inexpressible joy, certain hope, not wishful thing, certain hope, true purpose with meaning. As the psalmist has pointed out over and over and over again, God's blessing comes to those who walk according to God's word. How often our human nature desires to go its own way, to have our own way, to set our own terms for the way we want to go or the way we want to live. These terms and these ways that we come up with are not God's ways. And they will only lead our lives and our marriages and our children down a dark road of chaos and pain and loss and ruin. It happens. Trust me, I've seen this. Maybe some of you have experienced it. When we decide, you know what, I'm going to walk my own life. This is what I think it is to be a believer. And I'm going to live this way because it's what makes you feel best. And we forsake God's ways. When we go down that road and we walk in disobedience to our Lord, it's not just going to affect our lives. It's going to affect our wives, our husbands, our children. It's going to affect people around us. And we're going to start to experience things that the world experiences. Chaos within our families. A lack of peace. A lack of purpose. A lack of hope. A lack of joy. Because we're walking down this road in a way that we think when it doesn't line up with God's word. When we walk according to God's ways and we live according to His word, we are blessed. Spiritual blessings come pouring into your life. There's peace, there's joy, and so many other things because we're walking in His ways. It's so easy. The psalmist even knows the danger. That's why he's asking the Lord for help. He really needs encouragement through His word. His word being fulfilled in his life. He needs God's continued help in teaching him and leading him, empowering him. He doesn't want to fall to the same lifestyle of those who oppose God. He needs God's strength so that he can live well and finish strong, so he can bring glory to God. If we're going to be faithful to God throughout our lives, if we're going to finish strong, we must treasure the word of God. Without His word, without His power, we will not finish strong. We will succumb to the world around us and what our sin will flesh truly desires. It's so easy to get caught up in that. It's so easy to be running so far in faith. All of a sudden, out of the blue, it seems, we get distracted by what the world is offering us. Or we start to react and respond to people of the world like they're treating us. And then the reproach or the discipline of God. Remember, God says He loves, He disciplines those He loves. He cares so deeply about our life. He doesn't want us to go down that path where chaos and trouble and struggle and all those things are wrapped up in our life. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to pour out that blessing. He's going to do whatever necessary to turn our lives around through different experiences, unforeseen circumstances, trials. Could be a lot of different things. He's going to do everything he needs to do to turn it around and get you walking in His ways, treasuring His word, so that He can pour out blessing on your life. The worship team comes. What is keeping you from asking the Lord for help? Are you going to ask, Lord, be my teacher? I want you to teach me your word. I want you to teach me your ways. I'm ready. I'm ready for you to lead my life. I want you to guide me. I'm tired of trying to do my own thing. I'm tired of wrestling with
So what changed my mind?